This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Broadband Wireless Access World. We're about to speak to Don Houser, who's the chief of staff for Pennsylvania State, or Pennsylvania Commonwealth, Senator Jay Corman, whose district is Pennsylvania 34, five counties in the middle of Pennsylvania, including Penn State University. Welcome to Broadband Wireless Access World.
Good talking to you.
We're going to talk about Bill 30. What was Senator Corman's involvement with it?
Well, Senator Corman is chairman of the Senate Communications and Technology Committee, the standing committee in the Senate that was originally developed back in 1993 to handle legislation concerning Chapter 30 when it was originally done in 1993.
Chapter 30 is?
Chapter 30 is the chapter in the Pennsylvania Utility Code that governs the alternative form of rate regulation and contain the original incentives for broadband deployment in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
That legislation sunsetted on December 31st of 2003, and Senator Corman has been working on reauthorization legislation for almost 4 years now.
So essentially this is the major bill to establish telecommunications rules for Pennsylvania.
Well, concerning alternative form of rate regulation and broadband deployment, it's the major chapter in the utility code that concerns those issues, and Senator Corman has been working on that reauthorization for a while now.
Okay, now there's a provision in this bill, which is how long is the overall bill, would you say? How big a bill is it?
Well, you know, it gets longer every time it's amended because
right.
You strike out sections. I think it started out as maybe 20-some pages and ended up being, you know, triple that. But
I looked at it in the PDF form. It seems that all of the strikeout things are still on the bill.
Well, that's how bills are done legislative-wise. When they're amended, you strike out the portions.
Right.
And they just happen to stick there.
Okay.
The
provision we're mainly talking about are the three parts of Section H, which is called Prohibition Against Political Subdivision Advanced and Broadband Services Deployment.
Okay.
Say again when the bill started being formulated.
That bill was introduced in the State House almost 2 years ago.
Okay, so it's been a while in its preparation. Now, about 3 months ago, I did an interview with Diana Neff, who's the chief information officer in Philadelphia, about the Wireless Philadelphia executive committee that was set up then. That was before this provision in Section H was put in, wasn't it?
No.
No?
Has been in there for the beginnings of when House Bill 30 was introduced in the House back in April of 2003.
Okay, so it wasn't added specifically as a response to what Philadelphia was doing.
No, it's been added. It's been in that bill since its authoring.
Okay. Now, when it was authored, what role did Verizon Communication play in that formulation process?
Well, I think largely House Bill 30 was in response to the incumbent telephone companies in Pennsylvania. It started out as an industry bill
right.
in the House.
Meaning that it was actually written as a draft by Verizon and handed over to legislators?
Well, I think the legislatures in the House wrote it with an industry perspective in mind.
Okay.
To give you a little history that's probably not worth much, you know, as I said, Senator Corman's been working on this for almost 4 years,
right.
And we held what were called collaboratives, where we brought in the incumbent telephone companies in the room, we brought the competitors in the room, and towards the middle of those collaboratives, you know, as time went on, Senator Corman said to each group, listen, I want some legislation in draft form, just ideas of what you're looking for. I want one from you guys and one from you guys over here, let's see if we can put them together and get a compromise. And what happened was is the incumbents had their ideas and the competitors had their ideas, and each of them took those ideas that they were presenting to Senator Corman to House members and had them introduced in the State House.
What was
there
the
were competing bills in the State House, one a CLEC-driven bill and one an ILEC-driven bill.
Oh, okay. Did the city of Philadelphia, which at the time, I guess, wasn't really a LEC of any kind, were they in on those discussions?
I got to tell you, our office, through the entire process of working on this issue, has never heard one time from the city of Philadelphia.
Okay. Were they welcome in the discussions if they
Absolutely.
Wanted to be?
Everybody was welcome into our office. We've heard from countless people from all areas of Pennsylvania. Business industry, schools, intermediate units, nonprofits, cable companies, wireless companies.
Did you send them an invitation?
Everybody was open. These were highly publicized, and we even had public hearings across the state dealing with Chapter 30.
And the city of Philadelphia never showed up at any of them?
They haven't heard word one from the city of Philadelphia through this entire process.
All right. If you could summarize the provisions 1, 2, and 3 within the Section H, what exactly does it say?
Well, the first section, if I can bear with me here while
sure.
I get it up.
Right. You can find it on my website, actually, if you want to go take a look.
I'm getting it up here in the, online.
And just as an aside, I'd suggest to the people who do the legislation that they put it not in all caps anymore. It would be easier to read.
Well, that's our legislative drafting bureau.
Yeah, well,
they've got their own
idiosyncrasies,
doing things up there that
right.
we often have to deal with. And
right.
you're absolutely right. We had our drafts sent up to them in lowercase. And,
right.
But the first section H, subsection one, you know, is basically the prohibition that local political subdivisions in which they're defined at the beginning of the bill
right.
should not provide to the public for compensation telecommunication services that are delivered by probably the ILEX.
Okay, now for people who are just getting in on this, ILEX or incumbent?
Sure, your incumbent local telephone operator, the SBC, Southwestern Bell, Verizon, Sprint, the incumbent carriers, not your competitors such as AT&T, MCI,
so essentially
any number of other competitors that you might see.
The incumbents are essentially the baby bells and their offshoots. And
most of them are the baby bells, except for in Pennsylvania we happen to have 35 incumbent telephone companies.
Oh, okay.
We have a diverse state of a huge number of little telephone companies.
Okay, now I'm looking at this, and I guess I should have noticed it before, but I see it now. It says, essentially, this says that a political subdivision, a city, a county, a district, cannot provide to the public for compensation any telecommunication services, including et cetera, et cetera. Does that mean that if the city of Philadelphia wants to make these services available at no cost and collect no compensation from businesses or residents, that they're not covered under this provision?
That's absolutely correct. You hit the nail on the head. Any political subdivision in Pennsylvania that wants to do no cost offerings is absolutely allowed to do that under this legislation.
Okay. Now, I don't see a distinction here between any jurisdiction can provide for itself, for its own internal use, whatever kind of system it wants to.
That's correct.
But if it wants to provide it to outsiders, businesses or individuals,
to the public,
and charge it can't under this provision. But
with some grandfathering in lower sections.
Right, we're gonna get to that in a second. But I'm trying to understand, if they want to offer a basic level of service for free to everyone in the city with no compensation, but then allow them to get different services, additional services for money, that approach would be prohibited by Section 1 here.
That's true.
Okay, but if they wanted to make whatever level they made available, maybe all you want, for example, to a business or an individual residence, they're entitled to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if a city in Pennsylvania or a town, a borough, township, county, wants to say, hey, we got this great idea for broadband service for our residents, and we have it now, we want you to join on, and we're going to use it with a bond issue, or we're going to use existing surplus line items or your taxes to do this, and it's going to be free for everybody. That's allowed to do now, and it will be permissible in the future with this bill should it be signed into law.
Okay, now on the practical level, of course, is that pretty much out of the question that no large jurisdiction could possibly do that? Or could they, do you think?
I'm hesitant to say no way, because, you know, technology these days, it's ever-growing and ever-changing. You don't know what low-cost options are out there.
Right.
Wirelessly or through a hard line, you don't know what the future bodes, but I'm sure anybody can do it.
Okay, and after all, a lot of jurisdictions provide to the public roads and streets and streetlights, and nobody has to pay for them as such, do they? They're paid for by taxes, of
course.
Correct,
yeah. Constructed and maintained by taxpayer dollars.
And I guess the Pennsylvania Turnpike is a toll road, but the streets up and down Philadelphia are public streets, and you don't have to pay to use them.
That's correct.
Okay, so the second section says that jurisdictions, government jurisdictions, may do this if they go through some kind of procedure with the local exchange carriers?
Correct. It's basically a right of first refusal. If a local incumbent carrier, the Verizon, Sprint, any number, Altel, SBC, they're not in Pennsylvania, but just to give your national listeners a taste of that section, if the local ILEC declines to do it, then the municipality, the political subdivision, can go ahead and proceed with their plan.
So in other words, if Philadelphia says to Verizon, we'd like you, here's the plan we've developed that we want to implement, and we'd like you, in other words, they have to go to them to ask them to implement it before they can implement it on their own. Is that
correct?
Is that essentially what it provides for?
Any city in Philadelphia says, we have this big plan to do, let's use the Philadelphia example, but anywhere in the state,
right,
a Wi-Fi service, and we plan on charging $35 a pop to offer Wi-Fi service to residents or visitors in the city.
Right.
And Verizon, we'd like to do that, and we'd like you to do it. Can you do it? And the ILEC has a certain timeline to decide whether they can do it, and if they can't, then the city can go ahead and do it on their own.
And essentially, under the provisions of the second section here, the ILEC would, or in most cases Verizon, I guess, in Philadelphia Verizon, would agree to do it, and then they would charge whatever they are able to charge under whatever federal or other state regulations they're operating under, right?
Well, yeah, they'd have to do it at a tariff price or,
right,
just whatever's competitive. And the ILEC has 2 months to come back with that answer to the political subdivision of whether they can do it or not.
Okay.
So they have to answer the request within 2 months.
Okay, and then they have 14 months to do it,
right,
to implement it.
Then they have, they must do so within 14 months, build it.
Okay, now again, sort of going from the legal language to the practical situation, is this a viable option? What's likely to happen under this provision, would you say?
Hard to say. You just don't know what kind of ideas local governments and municipalities may have out there. It's very hard to determine if an ILEC would take on that or say we're going to do it or maybe it's not cost effective for the ILEC to do it with their own deployment schemes, what they have for the rest of their service territory. It may be something that they don't want to do right now, and it's not in their plans for right now. Maybe 8 years down the road, and they would say to the political subdivision, the city, town, borough, county, whatever, hey, sure, go ahead, do it, because, or maybe it's a project that they're not going to do anyways. Maybe it's the telephone company is going to be offering DSL or dark fiber,
right,
and a Wi-Fi service isn't that important to them, and they never intended on doing a Wi-Fi service anyways, and so they would exercise the waiver and say go right ahead, that's not in our plans for profitability anyways.
Okay,
there's many factors that can be
okay
in play.
Okay, just to be precise about it, the incumbent local exchange carrier in Philadelphia is Verizon, right?
That's correct.
Okay, Section 3 says that this is the so-called grandfather clause.
Yes, it is.
Grand person clause, I guess. And it says that if a system of any kind is in place before the effective date of this section, which is January 1st, 2006,
yes,
it isn't covered by these provisions.
That's correct.
Or provision 1, anyway.
Right.
Section 1. I spoke to Diana Neff an hour and a half ago and asked her whether they could get something up and running by the January 1st, 2006, and she said it would be essentially, my words, not hers, it's an iffy proposition to do that.
Well, in the case of Philadelphia, it's already up and running.
Oh.
They're already offering services to a small section right outside of City Hall in an area called Love Park.
Okay.
Locals know about it, but it's there, it's running. By crafting the effective date of that particular section, this particular section. We, till the effective date, until January 1st, 2006, what we're saying by doing that, City of Philadelphia or any municipality in Pennsylvania, you have until January 1st, 2006 to sign up one customer.
Right.
And that's all you have to do. Their service is already available. Any employee of the city can be a pioneer,
right,
so to speak, and go ahead and, you know, sign up for service and pay whatever they want to pay.
Right.
And they're a grandfather.
Now, does that mean that just they are grandfathered, or the whole city is?
There we have, in that section, and
right,
I'll read it for your listeners.
Right.
The prohibition shall not be construed to preclude the continued provision or offering of telecommunication service. So there you have continued provision.
Meaning it has to be in place. The services that will be continued and that are exempted from this are ones that are in place then.
Once they're grandfathered, you can continue to provision.
Yes, I know, but can you expand them is what I'm saying.
Sure, you continue.
So that means that Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or any other locale has one customer of a broadband wireless system run by the city. On January 1st, 2006, that city is entitled to expand that system to cover the whole city?
Absolutely.
And be exempt from the provisions of Section 1?
And 2, correct.
And 2. Well, I guess, so then what's the fuss? Why is there a problem then?
I don't know, and that's an excellent question. And considering that we haven't heard from any municipality in Pennsylvania regarding this particular section of the entire House Bill 30, we ask ourselves that same thing. What is the fuss? We've given you a year now to sign up one customer, and you can continue to provision services. You're grandfathered. I understand the fuss that we don't want we don't want government saying we can't do things. We totally understand that.
The state government saying that to the local government that they can't do.
Sure, I mean that's a valid argument, but in this case there's a large enough door to walk through for a grandfathering provision that should make the biggest gorilla on the block, Philadelphia, happy.
Okay, let me refer to an article I wrote yesterday, which quotes an email from a spokesperson for Verizon, saying a number of things. One of them is, that said, we never intended to stand in the way of Philadelphia's proposed Wi-Fi program, and as I've said, we've made assurances to the city that we won't. Now, does that mean what it says, do you think?
Can you repeat that again?
Sure. It says, there's another part that I want to go into, but this part says, that said, we never intended to stand in the way of Philadelphia's proposed Wi-Fi program, and as I've said, we've made assurances to the city that we won't.
Okay. Well, that indicates to me that Verizon was never really interested in doing a Wi-Fi business. You know, their business is probably their DSL offering and their dark fiber that they're laying in southeastern Pennsylvania, and had no interest in getting in the Wi-Fi business.
Okay.
And yes, it is my understanding that Verizon has assured the city of Philadelphia in writing that they have no plans to exercise the option or the option of doing that within the company of Verizon, and that Philadelphia can go forward with their project.
But Philadelphia seems to be the most vocal opponent of Bill 30.
Well, I guess it's for that option, but we were convinced that we solved the issue the night that we amended House Bill 30 to make the effective date of that section in 2006, and we're convinced even today that we have solved the issue for Philadelphia.
Okay. Now, Verizon makes the argument, I've seen it elsewhere and it's in this email, that the spokesperson writes, as to the question of why a provision is included in the legislation about municipalities providing telecom services, under HB 30, Verizon and other incumbent local phone companies are required to deploy broadband services to 100% of our customers in Pennsylvania. So it's reasonable that the legislation gives us some assurance that we'll be able to sell the services we're deploying and not be faced with a government competitor that stands to benefit from not paying taxes and other fees and getting access to cheap capital. Now, two points about that. This access to cheap capital and and the fact that money can come from taxes. I don't know the details of Pennsylvania's fiscal situation or Philadelphia's, but here in California, the jurisdictions from the state up and down, they're essentially bankrupt. There's because they can't tax enough to pay for what they want to pay, and therefore they're in the red. Now, I don't know, is the state of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania or city of Philadelphia flush with cash? Are they as flush with cash as Verizon and SBC? Is this a specious argument, or is it one that really holds water?
I think a citizen of Philadelphia would have to ask that of their local government, their mayor and their council. If we have so many problems in Philadelphia and our taxes are continually going up, and you're saying that SEPTA is bankrupt and services are being cut, and the mayor, you're about to fire policemen and firemen
right.
in the city, why are you spending money on a wireless Wi-Fi project? I think that's for the citizens of Philadelphia.
Right. Right. But I meant the argument from Verizon that they're at an unfair advantage against the juggernaut of these municipalities who are just out there with all of this money to invest and all these competitive advantages, and that in any kind of fight, they're going to be overwhelmed. Does that make? I mean, my the way I see it is that these telecommunications companies are in far better shape financially than the cities, and therefore more and completely able to compete.
I think what they're trying to say is
right.
I can't speak for them.
Right, sure.
Because I don't know the full context.
Right.
But the comment is absolutely correct that with House Bill 30, we say that every incumbent telephone company in Pennsylvania has to fully deploy broadband to every customer.
Any customer that it reaches, it's got to offer them broadband.
Absolutely. That means in every central office and a remote terminal, they've got to deploy, the switching and the capabilities
right.
for high-speed broadband, DSL service, whatever.
Right.
Even in areas that may only have two customers.
Right.
I'm not sure all your listeners are familiar with Pennsylvania, but the easiest description is an insulting description by James Carville, who once said that Pennsylvania is Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Alabama in between.
Right.
It's insulting to hear that, but it's...
For both Alabama and Pennsylvania.
Correct. But if you envision Pennsylvania on that perception, we have a lot of trees.
Right.
And a lot of wildlife in the middle of the state.
Right.
And most... we have a couple counties that the most of the county is state game lands or state forest lands, and with a couple hunting cabins and residents who like to live in that environment
right.
there. And with this legislation, we say that telephone company still has to build a remote terminal out in the rural parts of the state and offer DSL service
right.
to their great expense that they have to do that. And when they're not going to have the take rates that they're going to need to make that remote terminal or CO profitable. So I guess the perspective that this gentleman from Verizon is saying...
That's a woman, actually. Yeah.
Or this woman, we have to do this. We have to deploy 100% in Pennsylvania, most times at a loss of revenue.
Right.
And in places that could be profitable to us, we're going to be undercut by taxpayer-funded projects when we're out there spending our earnings and our capital to deploy at a loss throughout the state.
Okay, well, that's why I'm confused, because it sounds like from the first part of this paragraph, when they say we don't want to be faced with a government competitor, is that they don't want to be faced with a government competitor. At the end of the paragraph, they say they're not going to interfere with Philadelphia's plans if they become their competitor.
Well, I think
that's where I'm confused about what they're saying.
I think we just have to know exactly what they want to compete against.
Right. You mean which services, which
exactly.
kinds of services?
I don't think that Verizon ever envisioned deploying a Wi-Fi project in the city of Philadelphia. Now, are they going to continue to deploy dark fiber? Yes. Would they be upset if the city of Philadelphia, instituted a dark fiber project for all of its citizens? I think they would probably object to that.
Dark fiber is what it's also called fiber to the home or fiber to the node. Is that
right?
Dark fiber. Okay.
Right. Where it's a very high speed.
Right.
To their way of competing with the cable industry.
Right.
I think probably the phone company would say yes, we will gladly give you a notice within 2 months that we're going to do that project, so we can get it out to you and not have you compete against us.
Okay. There's a third technology. I did another interview earlier today with a spokesperson for the United Power Line Council, mm-hmm. which pushes or drives broadband over power lines.
Sure.
Now, here in L.A., the utilities are provided, electricity is provided by a publicly owned utility. In Philadelphia, apparently, there's a private company that provides the electricity. I'm wondering whether that factors in, or whether the legislature took any note of that, because it's possible that electric company could provide broadband over its power lines, and
absolutely.
Maybe throw this whole thing into either disarray or more competitiveness. Or
well,
how does that figure in?
Those industries were involved in our collaboratives,
right?
And gave testimony at our hearings, and of course, Chapter 30. In the Pennsylvania Utility Code does not say one word about electric companies or wireless companies or cable companies. So on one hand, you wanted to involve everybody who did broadband in
right.
a broadband deployment bill. On the other hand, you didn't want to bring in people that aren't currently regulated in that of that nature and then regulate them
right.
and potentially stifle an industry.
Well, right. So the FCC, at the end of October, issued rules that are designed to eliminate the interference, radio interference, that was standing in the way of the deployment of these broadband systems.
Sure. And they upset our ham radio operators in the
right. Allegedly, they've solved the problem with the rules that the FCC has set up. But you're saying that the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is not really going to get involved in that particular means of delivering
that's
broadband?
That's right. As a matter of fact, we once had, in this very same bill, House Bill 30, a couple different sections on voice over IP.
Right.
And we deleted those. Senator Corman put them in, and Senator Corman took them out after
right.
The decision by the FCC that said the FCC is going to have a national regulatory scheme, not have a state-by-state scheme.
Okay, well, speaking of voice over IP, if as I understand it now, if the bill is signed by the governor, we're going to talk about the politics towards the end here, but if it is signed, it goes into effect, then because they've already have a customer, Philadelphia can go ahead and deploy its broadband wireless network and give it away or charge for it or set up a nonprofit or set up a cooperative or do whatever it wants. Is that right?
That's correct. And even without that section, they could, because I understand that Verizon already provided them with documentation that they would not exercise the right to build that.
Under Section 2.
Right.
Right. But if Philadelphia does that, and one of those modes are established as a way of providing the broadband wireless service, once you've got broadband wireless service, you can put voice over IP over it, can't you?
Could.
And if you do that, the plain old telephone service that's being offered to the citizens of Philadelphia by Verizon might be severely undercut, wouldn't it?
It would be a nice competition to the POTS service around. Yes, it would.
Right.
It would be very attractive to the consumers in Philadelphia.
And would it be very worrisome to Verizon to the extent that their revenues depend on having that plain old telephone service provided to everyone that they can't?
I'm sure they would see it as competition. And fortunately for citizens in southeastern Pennsylvania and Philadelphia in particular, their union rates are so low that competition is thriving. And that would just be one more competitor with
okay.
Verizon or whoever else is doing business down there.
But Verizon has made assurances that they wouldn't that they would compete rather than try to stifle it through legislation.
With VOIP.
With VOIP,
correct.
Provided
we
by
deleted those sections from the bill.
Right. Okay. Finally, let's talk about the politics of it. Has there been a groundswell of public sentiment on both sides, either side, about this as we speak? The bill has to be signed or vetoed by midnight tonight, right?
That's correct. I think if you look at the consumer benefits in this bill, and there's, with every piece of legislation, there's always going to be some things in there that you don't agree with, and hopefully more that you do agree with. And
right.
that's certainly the viewpoint from our office when crafting this. It's all about compromising
right.
in the legislative process. But what we're particularly proud of in this office, and Senator Corman is particularly proud about, and is an advocate for are the consumer benefits that he was able to put in this bill.
Such as?
We have now almost $60 million at the least $60 million going into an education technology fund for our school districts in Pennsylvania, paid for by incumbent telephone companies out of this bill that would give grants to schools in Pennsylvania for equipment for their technology. We have every...
Is that both wiring of the premises and
for routers,
and devices and device, computers
absolutely.
And whatnot?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. We have, because of this legislation, every school in Pennsylvania will have at least a 30% discount on broadband service.
On an ongoing basis.
What we've been able to show in Pennsylvania, how I've described the rural nature of the state.
Right.
You know, a T1 cost in Philadelphia or Harrisburg or Pittsburgh is probably, you know, $100 a month.
Right.
$150 a month at the most. You go out into our rural parts of the state and you're talking thousands of dollars a month for a T1.
Right.
So the question hasn't been the availability, it's been cost
right.
to our school districts to be wired. And 12% of our schools in Pennsylvania do not have broadband service. So 12% of the school districts serving students in Pennsylvania are not using the internet to its fullest capability in their teaching of students.
Right.
Or they're in their professional development of their teachers.
Right.
And so with this legislation, we've been able to say that incumbent telephone companies have to provide a 30% or greater discount to schools for broadband services.
Is that still in a situation where a T1 line is necessary and it costs thousands of dollars and it's reduced in price by 30%, is that still going to, is that going to be enough to make it feasible for these schools?
We hope so. And we hope that at least that'll get the school districts talking to the incumbents. And that will get competition there, because I'm sure there's going to be some competitor out there that's going to try to match the incumbent's price or beat it.
Especially if broadband over power line becomes available, all these rural, even a one-room rural schoolhouse would seem to have electricity.
Sure.
Which would mean that an electric company would be able to provide them with broadband once this technology rolls out, if it does.
We hope so.
Okay.
And we've also modified our Lifeline program in Pennsylvania. In an attempt to get more of our lower-income individuals with affordable telephone service with unlimited advanced services.
Including DSL?
Well, I don't know about DSL, but we're talking about call waiting,
right?
Voicemail, caller ID. Right now, the current legislation as it came over to us from the House before Senator Corman got to it limited those services to two per each customer. We've been able to take out that provision and give customers with Lifeline program unlimited vertical services.
Do they have to pay a little bit more for it, or does it include, is it bundled in with the Lifeline service rate?
You would pay the tariff cost for the vertical service, but you would get the dial tone, the
right.
protected service for a far discount with the
right.
Lifeline
okay.
funding. And we're proud of those consumer benefits we've been able to bring into the bill. And we believe that those consumer benefits are needed, and they would not otherwise be provided without House Bill 30.
Okay. So Governor Rendell used to be mayor of Philadelphia. Has that figured into his thinking about this at all? You know, I'm going to try to talk to his office after I'm done talking to you.
Well, I think if you're just looking at the political subdivision part, the Philly Wi-Fi issue,
right.
it may factor into his thinking. But I got to tell you, never once, and I have three drafts sitting in front of me
right.
from the governor's staff meeting with them over the last 2 months and trying to get a compromised piece of legislation to his desk. Never once did that issue come up. Like I said at the top of our conversation, in over 2 years of dealing with this particular subject matter, not one party came into our office in protest of that provision in the bill.
Okay.
Including the governor's office.
Is it your expectation that he's going to sign it?
I don't know.
Okay,
I
guess.
It's almost 5 o'clock here on the
right.
East Coast. We still don't have word of what the governor's got to do. He's got 7 more hours to decide, and I couldn't tell you which way he's leading.
Okay, now the approach of people who were opposed to it seemed to be saying they wanted him to veto it so they could go back and renegotiate it and get changes. But from the way you've explained it to me, on top of what I've got here from Verizon, it doesn't seem to me there's much that that has to be changed for anyone who wants to put in a municipal broadband wireless network in Philadelphia or other cities who move ahead and get one customer by January 1st, 2006.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
But if I could tell you, if the governor vetoes this legislation, we will not be doing this legislation in the next session.
And all the benefits of it will be lost, you're saying?
Correct. All the consumer benefits that are in place and afforded with House Bill 30 will not be delivered to our schools in Pennsylvania.
So your message to people who are concerned about Internet access to and the elimination of the digital divide and the general tenor of telecommunications technology in the Commonwealth is that they ought to support the governor signing it?
We strongly urge that. We're very clear on that. These are consumer benefits that would not otherwise be afforded without this bill, and they will not be brought into legislation that would pass either chamber of the General Assembly in the next legislative session.
Okay.
And we've made that clear to the governor's staff over and over again that this is it. This is the bill.
Okay, and I want to thank you for providing us with information that people wouldn't have been able to have otherwise if you hadn't talked to us today.
Not a problem. Anytime.
So thanks very much, and maybe depending on what happens, we can get together again next week and see what's happening.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, then don't hang up, but I'm gonna say goodbye officially here, and thanks. Thank you again for all this information.
Sure.